John chapter 6. I'm going to read a few passages of scripture from John 6. So thankful for all of our guests today. We're glad that you're here. We have one requirement as Way of Life Church, and that's you just make yourself at home. Allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to touch you before you leave this place. Amen. If you have never been baptized in the lovely name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, first of all, you need to. Amen. Second of all, it's available today. We have robes and towels. The water is ready. And we can baptize you for the remission of your sins, the removal of your sins in Jesus' name, just like they did in Scripture. Amen. If you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it before you leave this place today. It is for you. It is for your children. It is for everyone that the Lord our God shall call. And so you're here today because the Spirit drew you here. No man can come to God except the Spirit draw them. Amen. So you're here. So you might as well leave with the Holy Ghost today. All you have to do is repent of your sins and begin to worship the Lord with your mouth. Let Him fill you with the Spirit. And as He does, you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Amen. It is the greatest experience in this life. Amen. John 6 and 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you that he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They were appalled at this proclamation. But Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now this was a very important message that Jesus was proclaiming, because he had gathered a crowd, the feeding of the 5,000, the miracles that he did throughout his ministry, all of the great proclamations that he made. It was a day of reckoning, because he was letting them know that there is a greater commitment coming. And he proclaimed himself to be the bread of life. And that is my subject this morning, simply entitled, Bread of Life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I ask you to help me to communicate today. Lord, that you would touch your people's hearts today, Lord, everyone that is in this place, that you administer to them in the Holy Ghost, that before we leave this day, Lord, that we would taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Lord, that we would allow you to permeate every cell, every part of our lives. Lord, that you would strengthen us in the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Let's put our Bibles down and put our hands together for the Lord right now. Amen. Oh, God is so good. God is so good to us. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Before we leave today, I want you to understand the importance of allowing Jesus Christ to become everything, to permeate every part of your life. In our lesson series that we have been teaching on Sunday mornings, We have talked about the seven ships for successful sailing, and we have installed these seven principles in our life that allows us to become everything that God has called us to be. But the problem with our world today, and even our Christian culture, is that they have allowed Christianity, or this thing we call church, to become a side thing, a pastime, something that is done just on Sundays. And many people, that's the only day that they attend church, is on Sunday morning. And so we have allowed it to become this appointment on our calendar, this thing that we do on Sundays. But really, this thing that God has called us to is more than that. It's more than Sunday morning service. It's more than Sunday night service. And I love Sunday night service, and it's going to be a great one tonight. Our own brother Dave is going to be preaching tonight, and he always moves in the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate Brother John David. And so we're going to have a wonderful time tonight. And I love Sunday nights, but it's more than that. It's more than coming to Bible study on Wednesday night. It's more than men's Bible study and more than ladies' Bible study. It's more than a prayer meeting periodically. But it is a lifestyle that has to permeate every area of our life. And so in the physical sense, the scientists and nutritionists say that you are what you eat. Right. Some of us are more fluffy than others. Talk about it. Some people prefer donuts and cheeseburgers to celery and salad. Amen. Come on now. Some of us have more higher metabolism than others. You know, it's just the way it is. We're all different. But the truth still remains that what you eat becomes a part of who you are. In fact, the nutrition that you gain from anything that you eat, it goes into your body, and your body translates that into energy, and it flows into every cell of your body. And so from the tip of your finger to the tip of your toe, what you have eaten over the last several weeks had become a part of who you are. And that is in a physical sense. But it's the same thing in a spiritual sense. And what Jesus was trying to get across to these men and women, you have to remember who he was talking to. He was talking to Jewish people that had fallen into this tradition. They had fallen into this way of living where they were just checking the box. Well, if I do this and I don't do that, then I'm okay. And so they were doing these outward things that they thought was making them inwardly change. But really, Jesus recognized them. In fact, the most harsh words that Jesus had for anyone in Scripture were those that perceived themselves or presented themselves to be holy. The ones that he called vipers and the ones that he called graves or sepulchers full of dead men's bones. The ones that he rebuked the most often were those that thought they were religious because they had checked the boxes. They said, well, I do this and I do that. But he said, hey, it doesn't really matter the things that you're doing out here if it's not right in here. In fact, he went beyond the law. He didn't do away with the law, but he said, the law says that you shalt not commit adultery. But I say, if you've looked on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery already in your heart. The law says, thou shalt not kill. But I say, if you hate your brother, you have already committed murder in your heart. And so Jesus was going to the heart of the matter, because it is not a cloak that we wear. It is not an outward appearance that makes everything right, but it is something that reflects outwardly through our life. Yes, it affects our appearance. Yes, it affects our conversation. Yes, it affects where we go and what we do, but it has to come from in here. Yes. It's not trying to please someone else. So he was trying to say, hey, I am the bread of life. I've got to become a part of every cell of your life. I've got to come a part of everything that you do, every thought that you have. I've got to be a part of it. And if you don't eat the bread of life, then you are none of mine. The scripture shows us very clearly that it is all or nothing. The shallows do not count. The hanging around the fringes does not count. It is either everything. We are either for him or we're against him. That's scripture. We're either for him or we're against him. We are all in. And so what he is trying to tell these people is that you have got to take me in. You've got to digest me. You have got to allow me to become a part of every area of your life. He said, I am come down from heaven. I am the manna. I am not the manna that was in the wilderness that the next day they were still hungry again. But he said, I am the manna that if you eat of me, that you eat my life, my flesh, who I am, then you will live forever, is what he said. And so he told them, eat my flesh and drink my blood. He was not talking about his literal flesh, his literal blood, but he was talking about who he is spiritually. He is everything. He is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible says he was the invisible image of the invisible God. He is everything that God is. And when we take him in our lives through obedience and through understanding, we are transformed by the thing that he is. He is holy and he is righteous and he is good. And so we must take him in. Now, Jesus was not about pleasing people. He told us what we needed to hear. He didn't say, hey, come on, everything's going to be good. Now, he did say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he meant that. But he also said, if any man come after me, he must first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He also said, hey, the birds have a place to live. The grass of the field is taken care of. All this stuff they have. They have a home and all, they have a place to live, but I have nowhere to lay my head, is what he said. He says, so if you come after me, you've got to put your life aside. You've got to put it behind you, and you've got to put everything in on me. And so here we are today in 2018. It is time for every man, woman, and child of us, every young person, to give ourselves completely and wholly to the things of God. Stop withholding things. Stop withholding parts of your life. But it is time to take him in and let him become the bread of life to you. Amen. My pastor growing up always said, it is hard to live for God easy, but it's easy to live for God hard. People that are really sold out, they're the easiest people to pastor in the history of ever. Because if they're sold out, there is no circumstance. There is no situation. There is no bump in the road with somebody around them that will hinder their walk with God. Now, they may have a bump or two. Not everything's rosy, but you don't have to worry about them. Amen. You may have to help them out every now and then because that's what the church is about. But you don't have to pick them up every Monday. You don't have to call them every Sunday and say, hey, you ought to be at church. No, they're here. Why? Because they are sold out. They have prioritized their life around the Word of God and around the church. And so you don't have to worry about them. But I've noticed that those people that are half-hearted, they're like a roller coaster ride. I don't really like roller coasters. Amen. You know, the whole time, you're like, when they're doing good, when they're doing good, you feel like you're going, well, they're doing good for a little while, but you never know when you're about to reach the top. It's like one of those roller coasters that's in the dark. Have you ever been in one of those roller coasters in the side? You can't really tell. And so you're it's just so relaxing, you know. Your back is kind of stretching out because your weight's falling back on it. And all of a sudden, and that's the way some people are, you know. There's some people you just feel like you're on a roller coaster ride with them, you know. When they're doing good, you can hear the little choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo in the background. Because you know at some point you're going to reach the top and all of a sudden it's going to be a scream fest on the way down. And you're going to be turning around. You're going to be going upside down. And you don't know which way is up. And that's the way some people are. But some people that are sold out, it doesn't matter what comes. It doesn't matter what kind of storm rages. It doesn't matter what kind of waves hit their ship. They're just there. They're just steady. They're just moving forward. And if they're not there, then something's wrong. And you know it. Amen. Come on. It is time to be sold out. God is calling in people. He's saying it's time to eat of me. It's time to take me in. It's time to let me permeate every area of life. And so it was a dividing time. He said, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And the Bible says that it was too much for them. There were some times in Scripture where he divided out. You remember the young rich man, we call him the rich young ruler. He came and he told Jesus, he said, what must I do? He said, well, you need to do the commandments, follow the commandments. He said, well, I've done those since I was a young person, since I was a child. I have followed all the commandments. He said, well, you do good, that's great. He said, now I want you to go and sell all and I want you to give it to the poor. Now, it wasn't about his money because God doesn't require that of everybody to sell everything and give it to the poor. But there was something different about this guy. He realized that he was wanting to hover around. He wanted to meet the minimum requirements. Right? Tell me where the line is. Where can I go where I don't get in trouble? But I don't want to go all the way in. I just want to enjoy the edge, right? How far can I go not to get fired? How far can I go to pass this class? They're always looking for the minimum. And so Jesus recognized this in him and he said, he's got one thing. There's one thing that he's counting on. He doesn't really want me as much as he wants that. And he went to the heart of it. He said, I want you to go and sell all. And I want you to give it to the poor. And then I want you to follow me. And the man went away sorrowful because he had much. He had much. So Jesus always went to the heart of the matter. So here he's dealing with these Jewish people and he tells them, say, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And he was dividing it. He was recognizing who was in and who was out. And the Bible says in verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, he watched all these people, 500, 600, 1,000 people walk away after he said this. And he turned to his 12 disciples. He said, will you go away also? And thankfully, Peter, even though he made a lot of mistakes, he was an all-in kind of guy. He was all in. He said, where will we go? There's nowhere else. There's nowhere else. You are the one with the words of eternal life. And so somebody in this place, you need to stop counting the cost. You need to stop. The Lord is after you today. I don't know who you are, but the Lord is after you. He is tired of you just halfway in and halfway out. And he is trying to divide the crowd today. Are you going to be with me? Or are you going to be against me? Are you going to come in? Or are you going to go away? It is time for us to take the bread of life into our life every day, every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Let me have him every area, my marriage, my home, my children, my job, my family, every area of my life, I've got to have the bread of life. And so I'm taking it in every day and letting it become a part of my life, my conversation. He said, will you go away also? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Where in the world would we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. Oh, it's all or nothing this morning. It's all or nothing. Matthew 13 and 44 says this. If you could put it up on the screen for me. Matthew 13 and 44. Jesus is teaching. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all, right? All that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. I'll tell you that this is greater than any treasure found in any field. This is greater than any pearl of great price. It is the bread of life. Now let me tell you a secret today. The enemy tries to skew your math. Because in a carnal sense, when you subtract, you lose something. Now listen to me today. This will change your life. In a carnal sense, when I take, say, 100 and I subtract 50 from it, what do I have? I have 50. You subtract 75 from it, you have 25. When you subtract something, you lose it. But that's carnal thinking. And so the enemy wants you to think, well, if you give your life, you lose it. If you give your time, you lose it. If you dedicate yourself to be faithful to the house of God, you're losing that 2 hours on Sunday morning, that hour and a half on Sunday night. You're missing that hour on Wednesday. You're losing it. And when you dedicate your life a little time each morning to pray and to read and to give yourself to the thoughts that God wants you to have, you're losing. That's the enemy. The enemy says, you're losing, you're losing, you're losing. You could do this, you could do that. You could be this, you could be that. You are losing everything. But that's not spiritual today. Because in kingdom math, it is the opposite. When you put everything on your side of the column and you add, well, you add your 10%. You add your time, you add your free will, you add your things that you want to do and the things that you want to be, and you add in your Sunday morning time and your Sunday night time, and you add in your Wednesday night time, and in a carnal way you're thinking, well, man, my life is really adding up. But in a spiritual sense, it's completely opposite, because when you subtract in a spiritual sense from the things that you have, your time, your life, your effort, your talent, your money, what the Bible says, that he that saves his life, if you add, then you lose. That's what the Bible says. I'm in the Word. The Word of God says, if you lose, you gain. He that loses his life for my sake, he will find it. And so guess what? When you give of your time, your talent, your treasure, when you go all in, when you go all in and you say, hey, no matter what it costs, I'm going to live for God. No matter what it costs, I'm going to consume the bread of life, and I'm going to allow it to become a part of every thought, every action, every choice, every priority. When you do that, you're not losing, you're gaining. So here's the principle, okay? The Bible says, for you to lay up treasure where moth and rust cannot corrupt. So when I give my time, I'm not losing my time. I'm transferring it. Listen to me now. I am transferring it. I am translating it. Now, what if you have a checking account and a savings account, okay? If you take $100 out of your checking account, you didn't know this was going to be an accounting class this morning. If you take $100 out of your checking account and you transfer it into a savings account, you did not lose your $100. It's still there. So in a spiritual sense, when I transfer my finances, when I transfer my time, when I transfer my effort, my commitment, my faithfulness out of my own time allotted, and I give it to the kingdom, I'm not losing it, I'm transferring it. Amen. Come on now. You better stay with me because I'm about to wrap this thing up. But it's even better than that. It's even better than that. So you're not losing your life. You're saving your life. You're not just giving your life. You're finding your life. You're finding a better life, a greater life, a holy life, a blessed life. You're finding something that's greater than what you're giving up. You're giving up ashes and he's giving you beauty. You're giving up mourning and he's giving you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Come on, he has given you more than what you're giving him. You're giving him trash and he's giving you treasure. He is replacing it with something greater. And my Bible says that if you give unto him, he will give it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And so when you take on the bread of life and you allow it to become a part of you, you're not losing anything. You're gaining everything. You're laying it up where moth and rust does not corrupt. Oh, you're translating it. You're translating it into another world. Amen. You're not just transferring it from one bank account to the next. You're transferring it from the temporal to the eternal. You're transferring it from the temporary to the spiritual. And there, it just increase. Well, I don't have time. Oh, yes, you do. Well, I can't afford. Yes, you can. Amen. I have a friend that has a great lesson that he teaches. It's called, you can't afford not to tithe. This ain't about your money. This is about your life. This is the bread of life. It's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. In the last day, the Bible says that there's going to be many that come, and I'm going to say, depart from me, because I never knew you. And they're going to say things like this, but wait a minute. We prayed in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We attended church, way of life. We heard Brother Shindall holler and scream and spit and sputter every Sunday morning. Amen. We sang the songs. We gave in the offering. We prayed, we worshiped, all that. But he's going to say, depart from me because I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. The knowing process is an all in. Amen. Not to go into detail, but when a couple becomes one, they get married, they become one flesh in a physical sense and a spiritual sense. They become one. They know each other in a way that no one else does. And so when we are all in, we're all in. We're his and he is ours. What did our scripture say? He said, if you eat this bread, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you are in me and I am in you. It's a oneship. We're oneness people, not just in understanding who God is, but understanding what our relationship with him is. So stop holding back today. Stop saying, well, I'll reserve this for myself, and just give it. Surrender it. It's all or it's nothing. He's a part of every sale or he's not a part. Let's stand. I'm sure the merchant man seemed crazy to his fellow merchants when he comes back to his store, to his storehouse, and he starts having a garage sale. This is going, you just take whatever you want. You just take this. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to sell that. But, oh, you've had this for a long time. I don't care. Sell it. Take it. Take it. Get rid of it. I'm going to sell it all. Well, what are you doing that for? What, this is your livelihood. This is everything you've worked for. He said, oh, but I found something. I found something. So the Bible said he sold all. The man that found the treasure in the field, he hid it and he went and he sold all. I'm sure his family thought, what in the world are you doing? That's just a vacant piece of land. It's no value. Why are you selling? And to the carnal eye, what you are purchasing today looks like a barren piece of property. People are like, what? It doesn't make any sense. But as you're selling everything that you have, you're saying, hey, but I know there's a treasure. There's a treasure in the field. I've seen it myself. Can we find just, I just want a few people today. God's looking for a few that have been on the edge. You've been halfway in, halfway out. But God's saying, hey, come on in. I'm the bread of life. Taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Somebody needs to come. Somebody needs to surrender. Somebody needs to sell all, not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Sell all the reservations you've had and say, I'm all in. I'm all in Jesus' name. These altars are open. Let's come. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Don't let us be lukewarm today. Don't let us be the church of Laodicea today. Lord, let us not think we're good, but let us give everything. Let us surrender it all. Let us put it all in your hands. You are the bread of life. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Everything, everything, everything. Somebody cry out to the Lord. Oh, somebody cry out in repentance. Somebody give him everything today. Somebody surrender it all today. Hallelujah. Oh, that's it. That's it. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah.